Let me pray. Father, I just pray. I thank you so much for worship, Lord. Thank you that I have a purpose. This is the reason why you made me. I find so much satisfaction when I sing to you, Lord. And I believe that's with everybody who's been born of the Spirit. That when we sing to you, we've been made to do this. We're going to be made to do it in heaven. Oh Lord, we just want to say thank you so much for that purpose of praising your holy name. You are more than worthy. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness, no one can fathom. But could you just show a little bit of it? In Jesus' name, amen. So Christ comes to bring fire on the earth. Yeah, but what does this mean, eh? Here's my tag. Here's where I'm going with this. Two verses. I have come, this is Jesus, he's talking. I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's completed. You just look at the way the Lord talks about this fire. He goes, how I wish it were already kindled. How I wish it was already set ablaze. But I have a baptism to undergo. You know what really, really puzzled me for a long time? And that is, why did Jesus Christ get baptized? Ever think of that? Why did Christ get baptized? We get baptized. You probably know if you've been baptized. But why did Christ be baptized? That's a good question. Go ahead. No, that's okay. Say it again. Yes. Very good. Don't worry. You can put your hand up if you want. We have a big Bible study if we have to, right? Okay, she's right. It's a testimony to mankind. But you know what he really did was? He identified himself with humanity. He's the second Adam. So he's bringing himself into a sin offering. He's becoming a sin offering of the human race. That's why he's got baptized. So I want to read it to you. So we see it. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill. And here's the depth of the baptism of Christ. To fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. That is a very powerful thing that he's saying. We go by it so quick, but he said, to fulfill all righteousness. Okay? And this is a very important point because I'm just going to give you clues and you got to pick it up. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So it's very, very important that you understand when he says, till all righteousness is fulfilled. And he's talking about himself. And he's starting off his path. He's 30 years old, and he says, do it, because this is the beginning where righteousness is going to be fulfilled. I'm going to live a perfectly righteous life. And then when I do live a righteous life, I'm going to take my life, I'm going to pin it to a cross, and fire's going to come. Fire's going to come down. What does that mean? I've come that I may bring fire on the earth. The water baptism is one thing. He's talking about another baptism, Christ. Here it is. Mark chapter 10, verses 36 to 39. This is where, what do you want me to do for you, he asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can. They answered. And Jesus said to them, and this is weird. You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. This is not water baptism. This is the fire he's talking about in Luke 12, 49. This is the baptism of death. This is his death. You know why I know? Because he puts the cup in there. You will drink. Can you drink the cup I drink? And you remember the cup he's talking about? Gethsemane. That's why you can say that's baptism of death. That's not water baptism. But here's the weird thing. He died on a cross. But he says, you drink the cup I drink. You'll drink the cup I drink. That's a powerful verse. That's a spiritual verse. You know what that means? That means that everyone, as soon as he died on a cross, the minute that we believe in him, Romans 6, 3 and 4, I'm just giving you scriptures. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his? You will drink the cup, but you won't have to go through it. I'll get hit by the truck. The shadow will go over you. I'll get hit by the truck of God's judgment, but the shadow will go over you. You will die, but you will die in me. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we are all baptized, if you're born again, if you have Christ living inside of you, if you believe, for we are all baptized. The minute that you believe, I just don't believe in the second baptism and all that stuff. I believe there's one baptism, because he said so. For we are all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we're all given the one spirit to drink. So the minute that you believe, you get baptized into his death. You get baptized into his burial. You get baptized into his resurrection. And we share the drink that he drank. We share the baptism he was baptized by, the death of Jesus. That's what he meant. Everybody. But you know, I'm just going through the scripture verses. But when Jesus says back in Luke 12, 49. He says, how distressed. I don't want to go back, but I want to read this to you. I like to hear the tones of Christ's voice when he speaks. And this was not easy for Jesus. For any of us here today, we need to really marvel at what he did. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's completed. How distressed I am until it's completed. Those words, how distressed. Like, when we meet Jesus and he starts telling you of how he went through this, it's going to make you weep. Nobody has ever suffered like that. Nobody. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here a while while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be what? Deeply distressed and troubled. I think, you know, honestly, before God, I think this message is a message for me to really never treat the cross like a newspaper. for what he went through. We need to gaze upon it every day and think about it, of the cost here. It's truly wonderful. And yet, the Lord, wow. Does he love you and me? Soak it in. You know what's so funny about preaching the cross? There's no eloquence or superior wisdom, because if you're running after preachers, you've missed the point of the gospel. There's a power in it. When you lift up Jesus, he draws you to himself, not to the preacher. If it's boring, there's something wrong with the heart. All of us really need to, and it's like a gaze. You know, you really have to gaze at this and think about it. Christ brought fire to the earth. I didn't even explain it. That's my introduction. I'm not kidding. I have to get into it now. What does he mean, truly mean, I brought fire on the earth? I explained everything now. Baptism, you know, all that stuff and what he just, okay, but what does he mean, fire? That's my message. What does he mean? I brought fire on the earth. I'm going to start it off. And this is why all of us in this room, if you were to take what Jesus did, you'd be obliterated. You couldn't handle it. Only the Son of God could handle this. Christ brought the fire of God's justice. Either Christ takes God's justice for our sins, or we take God's justice for our sins. Someone takes it. That's why the gospel is such good news. That's why, you know, I'm telling you, every time I'm singing, I can't believe I'm singing to him. You just have to look at your own life and look back and see how many times he's picked us up, because he took God's justice. Nobody could stand here today if you didn't trust him. Nobody. And I don't think we get into this enough, the cross. And I go and tell people, I say, you know, when you fall, you turn to the cross. You know what? They'll come back next week and they'll say, you know, I'm so messed up. And they're looking at themselves. How many people are in this place like that? And their emotions are just freaked out. He's left me. And he hasn't left you, because he took God's justice for you. He can never leave you now. None of us. Because he's tied to his justice. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he can never, ever, if you come in the blood of Jesus, he can't say, I'm not forgiving you. Because he has to remain just. It's a requirement. It's a legal contract. That's why the book of Romans is, like you said, it's legal contract. You believe it, it's in stone. You're saved. Has nothing to do with your feelings or emotions anymore. Praise the Lord. Everybody who feels bad or rotten, that's why when people sin over and over, I just look at this and I say, I think you're looking at the wrong thing here. For everybody. Like, we have to look at the cross. The minute you don't look at the cross, you are pointing fingers at people. That's the truth. The minute I'm looking at the cross, I'm not looking at anybody but Jesus Christ. That's the key behind Christianity. That's why he put it up on a thing. I'm not joking with you. This is he is the best psychiatrist that you could ever have, the cross. Just try it for a little while. Just look at it a little bit. Just a little bit. And see what happens. I dare you to try it. And many people will come to me. I'm not kidding you. And that's why, for myself, I get so discouraged, because I don't look at the cross. The minute I look at the cross, I get lifted up. It's God's justice. I've been justified. Christ brought the fire of God's justice. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. We're the bruised reed, you're the smoldering wick. He won't break you, he won't snuff it out, till he leads justice to victory. You are a bruised reed, you are a smoldering wick right now, but you won't be snuffed out. You won't be broken. Why? Because Jesus has led victory, justice to victory. That is so powerful, it's not funny. If you can get the truth of it in your heart. You know, do you know something? This is the truth. Now, I really believe this. If you really have a good handle on God's justice in your heart, you will have a good handle on sanctification in your life. Let me repeat this. If you have a good handle on justification, that he has justified you, it will flow and you'll have a good handle on sanctification. You won't have too much problems with people. But it's because you people lean on their emotions, not truth. That's a truth. And when people lean on the truth and you start to know the truth sets you free. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it works. God lined it up like that. And what one person said to me, I don't know who it was, somebody was he talked to so many people through the week, it's not funny. Somebody, prayer's not a duty. And this person goes, oh, but somebody told me it is a duty. And then all of a sudden, your words came to me when you said, fight the good fight of faith. And I started to think, you know what? Before you can get into the presence of God, there is a duty. There is a fight. You just have to fight to get in there. But because feelings won't break into it, it's just an act of the will to get in. But once you're there, I was in the elders' meeting, and I think I could have prayed for about 5 or 6 hours. We were praying for 2 hours, and I didn't even know the time, and I had to shut it down because I had things to do, and I didn't want to shut it down. Am I right? It's unbelievable what happens when you break through. Not feelings, but truth. And when people start praying truth, really, and not just stupidity, forgive me, I shouldn't say that, apologize. Your prayers are godly too. But the scriptures is very important to pray through them. Because when you pray through the scriptures, you're talking to God, his word to him. And when you talk to God, his word to him, he's got to answer it. That's why his presence comes when you deal in prayer with his word, because he honors his word. He doesn't honor your feelings, because your feelings fluctuate all over the map. But his word does not. It's the truth. And so when you ground yourself in the truth, all of a sudden, if you keep going, you enter his presence. And when you enter his presence, you don't want to leave. That is what justice does for us. If we start to get a hold of it, it brings us into his presence. That's what the church needs now. That's what you're feeling right now in our church, right now. You're feeling that right now in our church. You're feeling God's presence coming because on the prayer service, we're starting to pray. And our vision in the elders thing, whether it be men's meeting or women's meeting, and if Megan was here, I would say, right on, because she's right in with us with the vision for prayer. We're moving into prayer. Anything that's not in prayer, no. I know the elders board. We're moving into prayer. And as soon as we all start getting into prayer, God comes. God starts coming, and you felt him today. He's starting to come. It's a momentum. You're starting to feel his presence. That's fire. The manifest presence of Christ is fire. That's why Jim Sabala in his church, you go in and there's a lineup to get into the prayer meeting because God is there. When God is not there, it's just like a Kiwanis Club or a Legion. You don't care. But when God shows up, everybody wants to come and get the action because God's going to do something when he shows up. All the time. When we have faith together, he'll do something. That's what justice has done for us. Enter his presence. You don't have no merit. I have no merit. It's his justice that's been given to us through Christ. Fire came down. Fire. That's what he meant. What? And I'm telling you about justice. What does it mean to lead us victory to justice? Or how does he put it? Till he leads justice to victory. What does it mean? It's simple. He was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification. Think of these words, man. This means that we're never, ever going to be held accountable to any sin, past, present, future. None. Gone. It's a legal thing between God and man. Between God and Christ, not God and man. That's why we can't. That's why we need to plug into justification rather than our feelings or what we know. We know nothing, only that we know he's justified us. It's very important. It's the best way to fuel prayer, to be in his presence. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He's talking the old covenant. Left them unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, right now. So as to be just, God had to remain just. And the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Who has faith in Jesus? You have faith in Jesus? You're justified. Everything is done. It's taken care of. Out of that flows sanctification. That flows healing. If you really know you're justified, you get healed. If you're not, you don't really believe. There's something wrong. It's belief. It's not what you do. It's belief. And Jesus led justice to victory through the cross. Fire came down. That was fire, man. He took our justice. We got set free. He took it. And I'll tell you, I was trying to figure out the best verse to try and figure it out, and I think this one was Isaiah 51, 4 and 5. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's almost like God saying, listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. My justice will become a light to the nations. I am the light of the world. He is our justice, Jesus Christ. A person is our justice. He doesn't just give you justice. He becomes justice in you. You're completely just. I don't think we get this. I don't think I get it. I think it's so deep, it's not funny. But once the light comes on, there is true holiness when that comes on. True holiness. When you really understand this. There's no more trying now. Now there's believing. You get me? Trying is unholy. Believing is where you move into holiness. It doesn't matter how much you can read your Bible. It doesn't matter how much you go to church. It doesn't matter how much you do anything. It doesn't really matter. Do you believe what I'm saying today about being justified by Christ? When you do really believe, and I mean, I'm talking about not in church, but when the battle is on out there and you believe, something happens. Something really incredible happens. God starts to answer to your faith. When you believe, something comes through. You start to get delivered. How many people in this place, it's happened to me, in this place have been delivered and can't even put a time on it? Put your hand up. Yeah. See? There was a belief system in place that where you believed and God came through. That's why you can't put it on. You don't know when it is. But something, real faith touched you. Real faith. Not made up faith.
not emotional faith, but faith that comes through Christ. And all of a sudden, you're set free. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but what? Terror to evildoers. Terror. When justice is done, when the cross has been finished like it has been, it brings joy to the righteous. Amen? Hey, praise the Lord. But everybody who rejects the cross, terror when I speak about the wrath of God. Because justice, God's justice, has to bring about a punishment. Has to. If people are sinners, it has to come. And that's why I love this verse. But terror to the evildoers. Because for us, it's joy to the righteous. We know the cross. But to the evildoers, it's terror. I want to tell you something too. That means the wrath of God. Where there's justice and you reject Jesus, wrath comes. Wrath comes. Christ came to bring the fire of God's wrath. Where there is true justice, I mean God's justice, there has to be wrath. Has to be. And, you know, the gospel is not some mamsy-pamsy thing. The gospel is something very, very terrifying. It's full of good news, but it's terrifying to reject it. It's almost like unbelievable that God would do that for us, but to reject it, it is terrifying. Bring the fire of God's wrath. you know, you think of this too. I'm going to tell you, when you think of God's wrath, I have this piece of paper that I handed out. And I want you to just read it. But when you read the wrath of God, I understand why the prophets spoke the way they did. Because what they were doing, as I was telling the elders, is that they were proclaiming God's holiness, righteousness, justice, all of his high attributes. And they were proclaiming all the prophets. And they were doing it, they were looking where Jesus was in all this. But I'll tell you something. When you read these guys and you read that thing, you really see that these prophets really knew God. Because the wrath of God, you have no appreciation for the cross if you do not know the wrath of God. You really don't. None of us. There has to be some sense of, and that has to come from the Spirit of God. You cannot conjure this up. This comes from God. God himself. He does it. He says, this is what Jesus says. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it's not possible. Somebody takes this wrath. Somebody takes it. Nobody gets away. Nobody gets away. God is too just. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. The cup. And I say it to you, the cup is God's wrath, and I'm going to prove it. He too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of his wrath. It is. And he will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And I just want you to know, when I was with Ryan, we were out for breakfast on Tuesday. You know something? Instead of scaring Ryan, I got this verse here with Ryan. And now I know, truthfully, if somebody is really hungry for God, this doesn't scare them. This drives them to the cross. Are you hearing me? This needs to be proclaimed from all the pulpits so that people understand there is such a seriousness going on. You know what it'll do? It'll start to move us into evangelism. All of us. every one of us, there will be no nonchalant. This is not nonchalant. This is a very serious thing. Wrath of God, if the Son of God prayed almost to the point of bleeding, sweating drops of blood, what is that like, the wrath of God? He is the only one who knows what, who knows the power of your anger. He's the only one who could know that. And he's sweating drops of blood. For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. And when I was speaking to Ryan, his eyes went like this. And God did that for me? God did that for you, Janelle? God did that for you, Colin? You, Josh? He took the wrath of Almighty God on himself, and nobody knows what that's like. All you can do is just say, wow, that must have been pretty heavy. And everyone in this room, including me, deserves that wrath of God. And God took it, that cup, and drank it right down. That's why when they wanted to give him some stuff you would call it like almost a sedative, he would go, no, he's drinking it all for us. Every drop, the wrath of God, to pay the penalty for your sin. Completed. Amazing. Amazing. And it's being said too little, or if it is, it's become like common news. It's not holy no more. And it's so holy, it's enough to blow your mind that God would become a man and die and spill all his blood for you and I so the wrath of God would pass over us. I'm not joking. I don't think of it enough until I get to it and I say, wow! And then devil can't attack me. Not even myself can attack me when I think of this stuff. Amen? It's so glorious news. It's not good news. It's glorious news. You're free. Not what you do. It's what Jesus did. And that's what the whole thing is. The gospel is so wonderful. And somehow we get in this life that we're in, we forget it. Am I off? And then when you hear it, it's almost like you're hearing brand new news again. Am I right? It's like, hey, where did that come from? Because you've been forgiven. There is no wrath. And I'm telling you, man, I know you don't want to hear it, but when you're close to dying, I'm going to tell you, the only thing that you know is Jesus Christ. And when you start thinking of this kind of stuff, you're saying to yourself, thank you. Thank you. Because, man, that's it. There's no second chance. It's the cross or nothing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's not joking. This was holy. And this is why Jesus was upset in the temple. They made temple stuff common, and everything was holy. And we need to make this cross holy again. Awesome. The wrath of God was like a fire upon Christ. It consumed the sacrifice. He was our sacrifice. He was consumed. The only way I can explain this is, and the best way I can, I heard a story, and you know what? A man had two kids, and they were in the prairies. And the only way I could explain it was, sometimes when you're in prayers, if you've been there, you'll see it's like it goes on and on and on. It's really flat. And you get a prairie fire, and it just starts coming at you. And this father and this two kids, it started coming at them. And what do you do? What do? You can't run away. So what he did was he burned a big circle, a huge circle, and he burned it. And he burned it all around. He said, okay, kids, let's get down. It's coming. The fire's coming. And as it came, it went around them. And that's the best way I can explain what's coming on the earth in the second coming. This is not some, let's have a church service. This is going to get heavy. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And here it is. This is where it gets heavy. The fire, we're all huddled in as a church. And the fire is the wrath of God that went on Jesus. So we're all trusting in him, right? And we're at the cross. And we're embracing the cross. Amen? All of us, the whole church. And God's coming. And he's coming with tremendous wrath. No, and you don't believe in him, that's it. It's finished for everyone. And he's coming. And the church is huddled, holding on to the cross. And you're right, Lord. It is going to be such a terrifying time. You think you're going to have faith. You're going to hold on, man. You're going to see Jesus as the way he is. You have never seen a lamb that was mad. And it's called the wrath of the lamb. And no one has seen that yet, Jesus mad. Only seen Jesus kind and gentle. No one's seen Jesus, only once in the temple, but we've never seen him glorified angry, mad, upset. And the church is going to be, and it's his bride, and we're going to be all huddled together around the cross, and the fire is there, and the wrath's going to go over us. And it's a perfect example of when the Israelites put the blood on the doorpost and the wrath went over it and they were protected. And we're protected right now. Amen? This is not a game for God, man. He's not playing games. He gave his son for one purpose only, is to take away your sin. But I'll tell you, this is the most holy thing you could ever imagine for anybody. And imagine when it's all over and he takes over and he's the King of Kings. What are we going to be like when we really do see this wrath and we're saved? Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What's that going to be like? You tell me. Anybody here tell me. Glorious! I'm glad you said it. You're all going to be singing. You might be singing, praise the Lord, I'm saved. Amen? Only when you see the wrath of God do you really see the love of God. You cannot see the love of God until you see the wrath of God the way I preached it. It's just mamsy-pamsy love. It's just like human love. It's not divine. It's not like this love. Place me. That's a fire. God came with a fire of God's love too. As soon as you see the wrath, you see the love of God. Look at this. This is the best way I can explain God's love in the Song of Songs. It's the best way. Place me like a seal over your heart. What is a seal in Ephesians 1:13? Isn't it the Holy Spirit? He places the seal, a Holy Spirit over your heart. He says, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. The Holy Spirit is stronger than death. Stronger than death. He's going to raise us from the dead. The Holy Spirit, stronger than death. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. Holy Spirit, you're in the grave, you believe. Rise up. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench this love. This is God's love, not human love. Rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. This is God's love. Because when you see the wrath of God and being set free, you see you're saved forever. What does Paul say? For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor... Can you finish it? Okay, let's go. Come on. Okay, neither death, neither life, neither angels, neither demons, neither present, neither future, nor any power.
Singing the Song of Songs. Nothing, it's so strong, nothing can separate you. When he comes a second time, we're his bride. Praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. When you come and do communion now, you do one thing. It's not a ritual. It's to a person of how much you love them. In the Old Testament, it was like this. There was like a, they call it a mercy seat. Okay, they call it a mercy seat. This is our mercy seat. This is where Christ is now. And this is always. But now I really understand why God made it now for me. Because when I forget everything. I forget the Lord. I forget everything when I'm out there in the week. And then that's why I did it again this Sunday. I want you to remember what he did. I want you to remember. I want you to come and say, Lord, I don't even know how you express your love. Do it the way you want. Okay? But I'm going to give you an opportunity. Come, when you feel ready to express your love to Jesus. But just come, and I don't even know. Maybe go back to your seat, and just in a prayer, if you feel led.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. how great thou art, how great thou art. And when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.